Shalom Ravosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Ches. We are holding at the top of Kuf Ches and Aleph. We are by the two dots. We had said, if you look at the Mishnah, that we have been talking again, obviously the parak is called Shmona Shrotzim, so we started about talking about Shrotzim, but then the Mishnah had said at the end, a little bit in a deviation from Shrotzim, Chayev Ov Shebershusu, right, Shebershusu, if you have any animals in your possession, so Hatzadan Potter, if you trap them, they are considered to already have been trapped by the fact that they're in your rishus and a chovel b'hen chayev. And if you damage them, bruise them, then you are going to be chayev. So the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Huna, not necessarily related, but as the Gemara is wont to do, a relevant tangent. Kosvin tefillin al gabe or shel of tahor. Fascinating. You can write tefillin on the skin of a bird that is tahor. Rav Yosef says, "My kamash malan, what are you coming to teach me? The islay, or are you telling me that the bird, the skin of the bird, is considered legitimate skin? Right, Tanina, we learned. What did our Mishnah say? Achovel behem chayev. If you bruise them, you're a chayev. Why are you chayev? Because, as we said before, the blood pools underneath the skin. Right, it loses some of the blood, and depending on what malacha we said before, but either way, for you to be chayev for chovel, you need to have halachic skin. You need to have skin there. So apparently, right, it's very clear that the Mishnah says that if you're chayev for chovel, apparently birds have halachic skin. So Amalei Abayi says, no, tuva kamash malan. He's coming. He teaches us a lot, actually. Even masnisin, because if you would only have thought to learn it from our Mishnah, havamina, you might have thought to say, came into isbe nikve nikve. Since the skin, what does the skin of a bird look like? So, I mean, I don't really skin too many birds, but it has holes in it because of the feathers. You might have thought that since the skin has holes, so it doesn't work, right? You shouldn't write it because, again, you need to have it like complete. We'll see in a second. Right? Come on, low, meaning you might have thought that you shouldn't use that skin for writing tefillin. Kamash malan, therefore, it comes to teach us that you can. Kidami b'marava, like it said in Eretz Yisrael, kol nekev she hadyo uveres alav, eno nekev. Any hole that the ink would pass over and write over is not considered a hole. Right? It might say if there's, again, you need to have, as Rashi says over here, derachmana amar uksavtem ksiva tama shlema v'lamuf sekes. You need to have a complete writing. It needs to be able to be uninterrupted. So if you had holes in the skin, that would be no good. So apparently you see that the skin of a bird is fit for writing tefillin. May spirit of Zera. Zera says, one second, b'chnafav l'achshir esa'or. Pasuk says, b'chnafav, in terms of a korban ola, if you bring a bird as a korban ola, you have to burn it, b'chnafav, with its feathers. And we learn from there, l'achshir esa'or, to be machshir, the or, to be put on the mizbeach, as Rashi says over here, "Bolos of mishtoi she sheisainu beod knafav bo umekatin knafav." Okay, that's not what I was looking for. But basically, the pshat is like this: that a korban ola, right, we think of a korban ola as completely consumed on the fire. Right? That's if you hear korban ola, the first thing you snap to your head is that's the one that's burned entirely. Well, it's not actually true. The behema korban olas were actually skinned first and then burned. But the birds, the Pasuk says, b'chnafav, you would, if you brought a bird as a korban ola, you'd burn the entire animal, including the or. And here's the question. If you're telling me that the skin of a bird is actual halachic or, so, heichimar b'leikra, right? How could you burn it, right? Right? We know that you don't burn the or hides of an animal as a korban ola. So the Gemara gives a great answer. Well, I wonder why it doesn't give it more often. But Amalei Abaye, so Abaye said back to him, no. Or who, Berachman Rabye. Very simply, that's what the Pasuk is saying. That, not that it's not or, it's not considered hides. No, it is a hide. And that's why the Pasuk comes to teach me that that's the halacha, that you burn the bird with its hide, even though normally you do not. So that's not a question whatsoever, right? Rabbi Zeira's assumption from the fact that you bring a pasuk is incorrect. Okay. Ika de Amri, some people say that the exchange went like this. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir said, Afan Nami Tamina. We also learned in a brisa, meaning to prove, right? Not that he challenged it, not that it was a mesave, but that it was a proof. Bechnafov, right? You burn korban ola, that's a bird, with its skin, with its feathers, the whole deal. The rabos esaor, to include the hides. I amris bishlama orhu, and if you're going to tell me that it's actual halachic skin, hainu di itzrich krala rebuye. That's why you need a pasuk to teach me that it is included in the burning on the on the mizbeach. Ali amris lav orhu, but if you tell me it's not considered halachic skin, so or halachic hide, so amai itzrich krala rebuye. What would you need a pasuk to include it in the burning? So therefore, it must be halachic. Hides. And Abaye said to him, "No. In this version, Abaye gets rid of that that logic. Instead of using that logic, Abaye here refutes that logic, and he says, "La'olam really emelcha alav orhu. Really, you could say that it's not considered hide, not considered skin. V'itzrich on the pasuk. You needed the pasuk. You might have thought, given the ispe pirtzi pirtzi, since the bird's skin is full of holes, as pirtzim, right? Pirtzus, right? It's a has holes in it because of the feathers. So mois, it's disgusting, and you shouldn't put it on the mizbeach. Kamash malon, therefore, you should." Okay, so therefore, you know, either way, depending on how you learn, right? The ma'isa we said before, the halacha, you can write tefillin on bird skin. Obviously, nowadays that's not the minhag, Baruch Hashem, because we live in a time where, you know, real klaf, animal hard, you know, mamish klaf is available to us, b'shefa, Baruch Hashem, but in times of Tzimtzum, when there wasn't so much money or availability, so perhaps that's what they did. Boy, my name Mar Bered, the Ravina Merav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Ma'u Luchtov Tefillin Hagabi Orshal Dag Tor. Well, if you're telling me that, again, we said you have to write Tefillin on a kosher animal, that's what we'll talk about later today. So, we talked about animals, we talked about birds, what about fish? So, Amar Lei, Im Yevo Eliyahu V'Yomer. Well, let's wait for Eliyahu Navi, and he'll tell us. Why Skumar says what? Basically, why did you tell me Teku? Right, Teku, as we said before, stands for Tishbi Taritz Kushios Rabbios. So Eliyahu Hanavi will come and explain all the questions that we had. So what do you mean? Im Yavo Eliyahu V'Yomer. What do you mean that Eliyahu will come and tell us? So my Im Yavo Eliyahu V'Yomer. So Ilema Id Islay Or Id Leslay Or. If you're going to tell me, right, Eliyahu is going to tell us whether it has a hide or a skin or not. Achazina dislay or, what do you mean? If you look at a fish, it has skin. Oh, then also Hatam and Adina Mishnah. Had samos hadag va'oros va'oro matzilim ba'ol hames, that the bones of a fish and its skin will be matzil, will save something, will interpose between an ohel hames and something else. The only thing that will stop tumma from spreading is something that's not mekabel tumma. And skin and halachic or is not makabel tumma. So if you see that it's not makabel tumma, so apparently it's legit. That's halachic skin. Right? Fine. Right, if you read Rashi over here about Tanan, right, the fish ain't makabel tumma, right, it's not makabel tumma, kidatanya, like with the brisa, taras kohanim, right, etc., etc. Okay, meaning that if you tell me it's not makabel tumma, so, right, as it says at the end of Rashi, there, Aval Dagim Lo, V'choshe Eino Mekabel Tumma, Chotiz B'nei HaTumma, Mishan, Mishan, is it Mizachas Kedem? Okay. So the Gemara says, Ela, Im Yavo Eliyahu V'Yomer, what is Eliyahu Navi going to tell us? I Pasko Zuama Minei, I Lo Pasko Zuama Minei. Whether this, not necessarily the smell, well, literally Zuama means smell, very often Zuama will refer to spiritual impurity. Not Tumma necessarily, but kind of like inappropriateness. So the question is, right, the ma'isa, literally it means whether it will stop smelling after you prepare it. That's, I think, one of the pshatim, I think that's what the Rambam says. One of the other Rishonim say that, no, it's talking about some sort of spiritual inappropriateness, some sort of spiritual tumah, that only Eliyahu HaNavi can discern, and that's what we're waiting to figure out. Right? Okay, say that it's nafkamina in terms of I'm not sure. I'm stumbling, though. Obviously, the meaning is not to do that. Okay. Shmuel v'karna ha'uyase aguda dinar malka. Shmuel, story time. Shmuel and Karna were sitting on the bank of a river. Well, this river is the... I forget. Where is that, Rashi? Come on. Let's see it here. It's one of the rivers in Bavel. One of the rivers we've mentioned, I think it's the Nar Pras, I would imagine, but okay. Either way, Chazinu l'mayad kadalu v'akirin. They saw that the water was kind of like not whirlpooling specifically, but it was getting kind of rough. Shmuel apparently took this to as a sign. That means that there's a great man coming from Eretz Yisrael, from the west, and his stomach is bothering him, right? Just like the water was splashing around, maybe moving around in a circle, perhaps. So his stomach must be bothering him. Shmuel was a doctor, Agav, as we'll see in a second. And the water is coming up to meet him, to greet him. How did he know? Right? Why? Maybe just there was a storm. So Rashi says, where is that? Hold on. I was pretty, I can't find it now. I'm having a tough time spotting this stuff. I was 98% sure. Ah, that's right, okay. If you look in Rashi, Dibur Maskol Ve'akire, so how did he know that that was the reason? Maybe there's just a storm. So Rashi says, "V'pnei shelo haya ruach min hasheves." Right? There was no wind. There was no wind at all. V'ra'ah mayim nasim galim. And he saw waves in the water. So he understood that there was something going on here that was more than meets the eye. Okay. Zil teilei la'akan kanei. So as Shmuel said to Karna, go. It literally means sniff his bottle of wine. Kankan is like a bottle. But it meant go check him out. Go see if he's the real deal. Right? Also, Ashkeche, the Rav, so Karna went to Rav, and Amalei said to him, "Minayin she'in kosim tefillin el al gabi or beim tohora." How do you know that you can only write tefillin on a kosher animal? So Amalei, so Rav said back to them, "Oh, kedichti, the pasuk says, 'Laman tiyeh Torah Hashem b'fichah.' Right? You should have the Torah of Hashem in your mouth. Min hamuter b'fichah. You have to write it on something that is mutter to put in your mouth." So he asked him again, "Minayin ladam shehu edom, Hashem odom? How do you know the blood is red?" So obviously, that he's not asking him for him to punch him in the face and make his nose bleed. He can check out the color of blood. Rashi says, and he points out that in nida, in terms of dam nida, so there are five different colors that are going to put a woman into nida. So and they're all different shades of red. Right, even though there's black, okay, either way, but the different shades of red. So how do you know that that's what we're looking for? Shinamar, so Rav said to him, the pasuk says, "Vayru mo'av mineged esamayim adumim kadam." Okay. "Minayim lamila shebelso mokam." How do you know that a bris mila is on the male private area? Maybe you should, I don't know, cut him on his arm or something. So Rav said back to him, "Nemar kana or loso, v'nemar lahalan or loso." It says by the bris and or loso on his orla, and it also says by actual orla. What's that? Right, we know that for the first 3 years of a tree's life, you should not, what's it called? You should not take its fruit. And it says, or lasso, the word over there. Malahalam devar osepri, afkan devar osepri. Just like by fruit, we're talking about something, you know, a tree that makes fruit. So too, we're talking about the area on a male on a body that creates fruit, that is able to give children. So the Gemara says, emo libo. So Karna said to him, "What about your heart? How in the world would that work?" So, I mean, as you'll see in a second, this was just like kind of like not a riddle per se, but like, you know, this is what Karna was continuing, you know, in his testing. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, meaning it wasn't serious. But if you're comparing or lasso to or lasso, what does the pasuk say about a heart? The pasuk says that Hashem says, or Moshe is telling Am Yisrael that Hashem will umaltem es or las davatchem, that Hashem will do a mila, quote-unquote, on your heart. Obviously, Karna was not suggesting that you should do open-heart surgery, but he was saying that simply if you're going to compare the two words, orloso and orloso, so what about the other places in Chumash where it says the word orlo? Right? A, in this case, where it says about your heart, and Ema ozno, what about a person's ear? Because it says, hine orla oznam, or orla oznam, that's a pasuk can hear me out. So what kind of logic is that? So Rav said back then, "Dain or lasso tama, mer lasso tama." No, because that you have or lasso, that's a gzereshava or a limu that you could make because the world is word is complete. So you learn one from the next. It's the exact same word. In Echinami, that we have gzereshavas that are not always the exact same word, but that's what Rav said back to him. Right, "Dain or lasso tama, mer or las she'ino tama." Okay, so Rav at that point figured out what the deal was, and he said, Amalei, my shmecha. He said, what's your name? So he said, Karna. So Amalei said back to him, he cursed him, hey, Rava, the typically Karna veina. Right? You should have a horn, a Karna, a Karen, in your eye. Right? Mustama, that means not that he should sprout a horn, but Mustama, some sort of injury in his eye. Lasof Aile Shmuel the Beisei. At the end, Shmuel took Rav to his house because apparently he checked out. And Ochle Nehema Desari the Kasa de Harsana. Gave him some Ashke Shechra. So gave him some bread and some barley and some sort of Kasa de Harsana. I forget what that is. Okay, I think it's a fish. Ashke Shechra, and he gave him beer. Vlo Achve Le Beisei Kisei, but he wouldn't let him go to the bathroom. He wouldn't point to the bathroom. So then he should have shilshul, right, and get out whatever was bothering Rav in his stomach. So light Rav, Amar, apparently Rav was in a really lousy mood. He cursed Shmuel and said, Man de Mitzaron, the guy who's bothering me, lo lok me le bunny, I should not have any sons. V'chein hava, and that was true. Shmuel actually had daughters, but he did not have any sons. Gemara does say in Megillah that after, you know, obviously Rav and Shmuel are mentioned together all over Shas, so after Rav and Shmuel kind of, you know, figured out that Shmuel wasn't trying to kill him, he was trying to heal his stomach ailment, and he knew this because he was looking at the water and he realized, so Rav, the Gemara says in Megillah, I forget where, towards the end, I think, third parak maybe, I forget, but Rav was, you know, gave Shmuel a lot of cover. Rav wouldn't take, I think it says that it wouldn't take Cohen over there, right, and where Shmuel was around. I forget already exactly the thing that was, but Rav and Shmuel treated each other with great kavod after that episode came to pass. But we see that, as we said, Gemara says elsewhere, I think also Megillah, if I'm not mistaken, that maybe just have that on the brain, that a kilas chacham bechinam hiba, that a curse of a talmud chacham, even if it's not appropriate. Right, that comes to fruition. That happens even if the reason he made the curse is no longer extant. Right, the most famous case of that is by Yaakov. Yaakov says to Lavan, "Whoever steals your idols shall not live." And who is that? He's talking about Rachel. I mean, he obviously didn't mean for Rachel to die, but then we see that Rachel passed away early. Okay, either way, fine. Kitanai. I actually don't remember if the Gemara gives that exact example. All right, either way, fine. I think the Gemara gives an example. Now that I'm on it, I think the Gemara gives the example of Avimelech. And Avimelech told, that's about Kilas Hedyot. Okay, all right, I'm rambling. Let's go back to the Gemara. Kitanai. We actually mentioned about the source for doing Mila on the man's private area. So that the reason for that is actually Machlokas Tanai. Minayin lamila shabo so makom. How do you know that that's the makom hamila shenemar? The pasuk says kano alaso v'nemar lahalon or alaso malahalon davar shows a pri yafkan davar shows a pri divri Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says exactly what Rav told us, that that's the drasha or alaso. That's how you know that's where you do a mila but also makom. Rav Nasan says, what are you talking about? What a fancy drasha? Eino tzarech. You don't need this. Hare omer v'aral zachar lo yimolas besar alaso. Right, and when the pasuk says that an orel, right, what is the definition of an orel? A male orel that does not, you know, do a mila on his flesh, on the orla of his flesh. So makom shenikar ben zachris lanakevus. So it's clearly talking about, the pasuk itself is talking about, right, the place where you can tell the difference between a man and a woman. So obviously it's talking about a mila. That line is not PC nowadays, but okay, Baruch Hashem, we have the MS Tegatela to tell us how things are. But Lamaisa, that goes on the Makom Mila, where we're all familiar, because, you know, the parts of the Pasuk says that it's talking about a Zachar. How can you tell the difference between a Zachar and a Keva? So that's obvious, and that's where you do the mila. Tadu Rabbanan, we learned in Abraisa. Kosvin Tvilin Al Gabi Or Behema Tahora Vel Gabi Or You can write tefillin on, the last one is a little bit chiddushtik, but that's the first two we've already spoken about. You can write tefillin on animal skin that is tahor, on a behema, right? That's a behema is domesticated, a chaya is less domesticated, is more wild. Let's say the difference between behema and a chaya, let's say, is a cow versus a deer. Okay, fine. Valgawi or Nevelos and Trefos Shalem. You can even write it on the skin of these Nevelos and Trefos. If they weren't shechted properly, right, they're also for you to eat, but you are allowed to write it on their skins. Nechreches Besaron, and you can tie it with their hairs. Paros Begidin, and you can sew it with their sinews. Valachal Moshe Sinai, and this is learned, Valachal Moshe Sinai, Shatrila Nechreches Besaron, Vinit Paros Begidon, and that's how you sew and stitch and tie tefillin, right, with the sinews and the hair of this of the usually cows, or in kosher law gabi or behemet tamei, but you can't write it on the skin of let's say a horse of a tamei animal, for law gabi or chaya tamei or another chaya that's tamei, and sorry lomar al gabi or nevel utreifa shalem, and certainly you don't need to tell me that you can are not allowed to use the skin of, let's say, a dead horse. Ve'in yichrachem b'sarad, ve'in misparos b'sgidon, and you can't use their hair, and you can't use their sinews as well. Ve'zu she'ela shal baitusi echod, as Rabbi Yehoshua HaGarsi. And this is one of the questions that baitusi, who's one of the apikorsim, the house of Baitus, I think, I forget exactly how they got their names, but it was a group of people who were apikorsim, and they obviously tried to make trouble, so they asked Rabbi Yehoshua HaGarsi, the following question. So like this. Minayach in kosim tefillin al or behemet tamei. How do you know that you're not allowed to write tefillin on the back, on the hides of an animal that's tamei? The pasuk says, right, as we quoted before, lamantia Torah Hashem b'tichlo. Because you can't, you know, you have to have the Torah Hashem in your mouth. Midover hamutter b'fichlo. You need to use something that is mutter for you to eat. So elmi hatal gabi or nevels and trefos ayichtu. So what about the third case of the brisa, which we mentioned that you're allowed to write tefillin on the skin of nevels and trefos, animal, kosher animals that died without shechita? So if the whole source is because you need to be able to eat them, so why should you be able to write tefillin on these animals that you cannot eat? Yes, there are cows, but you can't eat it. It died. It got shot. It died. Dropped dead. Whatever. You can't eat the veils and trefos. So really, the teretz is right. Very often, you'll find whenever you have like these heretics coming and asking questions, so the rabbanim tell them stories. There's a Rashi somewhere. I forget where it is that you have to give. You have to tell someone who's not learned a halacha with like a message, like a story. You can't just tell them the halacha because they're not going to be mekabel. So he told them a story. He gave them a mashal. Instead of telling him you're an idiot, right? What's the halacha, right? The obvious, what you learn from the brisa is, what's beficha? It's talking about the type of animal. You can use an animal that is kosher. You cannot use an animal that is treif. Does it matter how it died for tefillin? No. Right? Obviously, that's the pasha to answer, but you have to give him a mashal to kind of like appease him. So I'm going to let him shalach al mashal. I'll give you a story, or a parable. Lamaha Dover Doma. I have Lamed Mem He Dalet in that in my Gemara. So Lamaha Dover Doma. What is this similar to? Adam Hariga Lamalchus. Two people were Chayev Misa. Echad Hargo Melech, Echad Hargo Ispaklitor. One of them the king himself killed, and one of them the executioner killed. Apparently Rashi says Aspaklitor is Sara Tabachim Baloshan Yivani. Right? The executioner, right? As you know, when the pasuk says it's Potifar Sar Tabachim, does not mean he was a butcher. He was the executioner. So one of them was killed by the king, and one of them was killed by the executioner. Eza mehem mishubach, which is better? Right. So the Baituzi said to him, "Yeah, okay. Hare Omer Zeshahar Gomalach." So the one that the king killed. Elameata. So now Yochlu. So what are you talking about? You're talking about an animal that is necessary to be eaten. So that meaning so that clearly, you know, if the animal drops dead, yeah, Karsh Baruch Hu killed him, or a person who is the quote unquote executioner shecht of the cow, right? What's better? That's obviously the one that the Karsh Baruch Hu killed. So it should be fine to write tefillin on the animal's hides. So the Baituzi said El Me'ata Yochlu, right? But it was, so one second. So if you're telling me that it's better if the king killed it. So Yochlu Amar Le Torah Amar Lo Sochlu Kol Nevelo. What do you mean? So the question we said, so Elamiata Yochlu. So if that's true, you should be able to eat Nevelos and Trefos. And if you're telling me that what's better, if the king killed it or the executioner killed it, Right? So what are we allowed to eat? The only thing on there is shechted. Something drops dead, of course, Baruch Hu killed this animal, so we're not allowed to eat it. So the Baitusi tell me, if the king killing it is better, so you should be able to eat these animals that the king killed. So Rabbi Yeshua said back to him, HaTorah Amar Lo Suklin Novela. The Pesach says, you're not allowed to eat it. And you're telling me we should eat it? So he said to back to him, Amar Lei, Kalas, you're right. Meshubach Tamza. That makes a lot of sense. I think it's the Marshal who asks that. It doesn't make any sense, because that was his question, right? Why does the Torah say that it's awesome? Okay, Mistama, that's a good kasha actually, and I don't really have anything to add. Maybe something to look up if you want to check it out. For whatever reason, the Baitusi accepted that teretz. Okay. New Mishnah. Ein osin hilmi b'shabbos. Hilmi is a, as we'll see in a second, it is salt water. But in terms of hilmi, we're going to say, well, let's just read the next line in the Mishnah and we'll explain it. Aval osahu et mei melech. But you are allowed to make salt water. So what's the difference between hilmi and mei melech? So the Gemara is going to say simply the amount. And hilmi is a lot of, let's say, what's the word that they use to pickle pickles? It's brine, right? Pickles and brine. I always have that when I go to the supermarket. There are two types of pickles in Israel. There's pickles in brine and pickles in vinegar. And the one the kids like is the pickles in brine. And the containers are very similar. You have to make sure not to bring home the pickles and vinegar. So anyway, so if you make brine, which is what we'll use just to define a lot of salt water, so that is going to be usser. That is going to be, that's not Motzer on Shabbos. As we're going to see, in terms of what are you doing, so it's a machlokas. Where did I see this? It's a machlokas, I think, between Rashi and the Rambam. I could be wrong. I think if Rashi says, one of them says it is similar to tanning. I'm scanning Rashi as I say this, but don't. It's similar to tanning. It's similar to ma'abed, because you're keeping. Oh, yeah, that's the last Rashi on the Mishnah. The nirakim ma'abed. If you look at the last line and the skinny or of the thick lines over there. Nirakim Abed, it looks like tanning, and I think it's the Rambam who says, no, it's like bishel, it's like cooking. And there's a concept of kavush kamavushel, that sometimes when you pickle something, it'll be considered as if you're cooking it under certain circumstances, so it could be, it's a drabanan of bishel. But either way, it definitely didn't drabanan, you're not allowed to make this brine on Shabbos, but you are, the Mishnah says, al osin who es me hamelach, but you are allowed to make salt water. We'll see exactly what the difference is. V'tobel behem pito, v'nosim l'tochatav shel, and you are, and once you make the salt water, you're allowed to dip your pita into it, your bread, and you're also allowed to put it into a dish. Rabbi Yossi, v'alohu hilmi b'meruvi b'me'uat. Right, but one second, Rabbi Yossi said the difference between me melach and hilmi is simply the amount. Brine is a lot, and me melach, salt water, is a little bit. One second. Hold on. How do you read this? Right. Meaning the difference is it's just the difference is quantity. Right. The elu hein me. The Gemara. Right. The Gemara goes on to say what exactly Rabbi Yossi is saying. Anyway, so he says like one second. I don't understand. It's either it's a lot of salt water or a little bit of salt water. And so if this is the salt water that is mutter, no saying shemen lechachila l'toch hamayim or l'toch hamelach. You have to add oil as well. And the purpose to the oil is that the salt is not going to mix so much with the water, and you won't actually get really strong salt water. So the Gemara says, my karma, what's going on? Okay, so let's dive into it. What is the difference as between this brine and this mei melech, between the hilmi and the mei melech? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hachikam, this is what it means to say, in osa mei melech merubin aval osa hu mei melech meruat. You can't make a lot, but you can only make a little. I'm Rabbi Yosef Alu hu hilmin bein merubin bein meratin, right? Either way, it's hilmi, right? Either way, it's salt water, right? Or brine. So the Gemara says, Yiboy Alu hu Rabbi Yosef l'asar o l'hetir. So what does Rabbi Yosef come to do when he says that either way, it's salt water? Rabbi Yehuda l'hatir, that he's coming to be matir. He's coming to say, well, what are you doing? It's salt water, who cares? Since the Mishnah didn't use the language, then Rabbi Yossi is Oser, so Mustame is coming to be Matir. Just read the end of the Mishnah. This is the salt water that is Mutter. So Mechad Rabbi Yossi Lesor. Then apparently Rabbi Yossi holds that all other forms of salt water, whether it's a lot or a little, is Oser. And now Amarabba Lesor. So to Rabba said, that he's coming to Rabbi Yossi is coming to Aser it. V'chein Rabbi Yochanan Lesser. Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Rabbi Yossi is coming to Aser the salt water. Tanya Miyachi, we also learn in Abraisa, in Osin Me Melech Marubin, Lasseis Latocha Kavoshim, Shemitocha Gistra, right? You're not allowed to make a lot of salt water to make pickles inside of a broken pot. Aval Osahu Me Melech Muatin, but you are allowed to make a little bit of salt water. V'okal Man Bito, V'nosin Toch Tavshil, try to put in your dish and to use for dipping. I'm Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says, "V'chim yipnei shalalu merubin v'alalu mu'atin." Right, halalu asurin v'alalu mutarin. And Rabbi Yossi says, "What are you talking about?" Right, this is really the elaboration of Rabbi Yossi's shita. Why should it matter how much you're doing? Right, it never really matters. Right, okay, we have minimum shiurim. Right, you write two letters instead of one letter, but why should it matter? You're making salt water, a lot of salt water, a little bit of salt water. So yomru malachim ruba asur malachim mu'atas mutaris. People will say that a lot of work is Aser, but a little bit of work is Mutter, and we don't want people thinking that a little bit of work is Mutter. Right? That's going to be disastrous for Hilchas Shabbos. Ela Elu ve'Elu Asurim, rather, both of them are Aser. Ve'Elu Hein Mei Melech Mutarim, and this is the Mutter salt water, as we said before. Nosin Shemen U'Melech, O Shemen U'Mayim, U'Bavajal Yitain Melech U'Mat. Mayim U'Melech Lechachila, right? Make sure you put the oil in before one of the other ingredients. As long as you don't put the water and the salt and then the oil, right, so then you're going to be fine because that's not real salt water. Okay. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Ein osin mei malech ozin. You're not allowed to make strong salt water. So Gemara says, my mei malech ozin, what is that? Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Bar Ava, Damit Tervaya, they both say, call shehabitza tzafa b'hem. Anything that an egg is going to float inside of it. So obviously, if you have a lot of salt content, the kama, and how much is that? So Amar Abaye, trade tilsi milcha, 2/3 salt, tilsa maya, and 1/3 water. So that's a lot of that's a lot. So Gemara says l'maya avdilei. What would you do with such a mixture? So Amar Abaye, the moraisa. So that is used for making herring. Right, herring that we all know and love. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Ein molchen tznon ubeitza b'Shabbos. You're not supposed to salt a radish or an egg on Shabbos. As Rashi says over here, you shouldn't salt a bunch of them together because it looks like ma'abed. Where is that Rashi? Yeah, a little bit higher up. Gimel v'dalet chatichos yachad. You shouldn't salt 3 or 4 pieces together. Shamelech ma'abdan, because the salt will make them harder. Right, it'll make them quote unquote tan, well, like you're tanning leather. Vinasim kushin, it becomes harder. Vahavitikon, and that is making it better. Okay. Rav Chizkiah Mishmei Da'abaye Amar Tznon Osur Beitzim Muteres. No, radish is osur, but an egg is muter. Amar Rav Nachman Mereish Hava Malchana Pugla. Originally, back in the day, I would salt pugla, which is radishes in Aramaic. Amina Afsade Ka Mafzidale. Because I thought that I was making it worse. I was being mafsided. I was doing it, not making it better. So I'm dumber. Once dumber Shmuel pugla chirfa male came to Shmana laha the hachi asai ula varu ba marava malchi kishri kishri memelach lo malachna tvule vada. A little bit too far here. Sorry, I thought that would end a little bit earlier than it would. Let's go back here. Amar Rav Nachman. Mereish Hava Malcha Pugla. Back in the day, I used to salt radishes because Amrina Afsideh Kam Afsideh, because I thought that I was for sure not making it any better. Amar Shmuel Pugla Churfei Ma'ale, because Shmuel said that when because Pugla, a radish, is better when it's Churfei, when it's more Harif, when it's sharp. So the salt apparently would dull the flavor, and I thought that I was making it worse. Came to Shmana Laha. Once I heard this idea, the Chiasa Ula, that when Ula came, V'amar Marav, and he said that in Eretz Yisrael, Malchi Kishri Kishri, that they salt a lot of radishes together. So Mimalach Lo Malachna. So I decided not to salt them because apparently, if you're salting a lot of them together, so then it must be that you know, that's a worthwhile practice. You're not going to just lose your entire crop of radishes. So apparently you're making it better. So therefore he said, I'm not going to salt them, but tibuli vadai mat bilna, but I would dip them in the salt at one at a time. Right? Mustama has nothing to do with tanning. Again, if Rashi says that the malacha here is to save them, is similar to tan, to make them better, right? There's sort of three or four at a once, so that to dip one in salt at a time would be fine. Okay. Tani, we learned in a Raisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar Chaviva, Esrog, Tznon, Ubeitza, an Esrog, a radish, and an egg, Ilmali, Kliposan, Hachitona, if it was not for the outside, for their shells or their skins, Inan Yotzim, Ibnei, Me'ayim, La'olam, they would never make it out of the stomach. As Rashi says, Shemekashin, Umitkashin, V'netzarin, apparently these are foods that would cause things to get blocked up. Okay. Fine. Al Kiyasar of Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Eretz Yisrael, to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Ma'olam Lotova Gavra B'Yamad Esdom. He said something that we know nowadays, that no one has ever sank in the Yam of Sdom, which is, as we know, that's the Dead Sea. No one has ever drowned in the Dead Sea. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hafucha Sdom. What do you mean? Sdom was destroyed, Hafucha Mila. And so too is your statement. Gavada Hudalotava. Wait, a person has not sunk, but Keshura Tava, but a plank of wood has sunk. Right? He was joking, meaning, right, he was trying to, what's it called, to keep him on his toes. So Abaye said to him, Lomi Boye Kamer. So when Rav Dimi said that, so he was saying, obviously, Lomi Boye, you don't even need to tell me. So meaning, the implication was, a person is not sunk, but a piece of wood has sunk. But wood usually does not sink. So you're implying that, a person hasn't sunk, but a wood has sunk. So he said, Lomi Boye Kamer. Really, he was saying, you don't even need to teach me. Lomi Boye Keshura, you don't even need to tell me a piece of wood. Tafilu B'chomi Mosa Sheva Olam Lo Tava, which does not sink in any yam in the world. Ela filu gavra, but even a person, the tava b'chol emas olam, usually would sink. So that b'yam at the stone, lo tava, does not sink in the Dead Sea. L'may nafkaminos. The Gemara says, that's nice. Who cares? The Gemara is not looking for your stories about going to a hotel at the Dead Sea. Gemara is looking for halachic discourse. Or something to teach me. Right? You call, showed up. You went on vacation. I went to a summer. I went to a hotel. Nobody drowned. Unbelievable. So who cares? So the Gemara says, no, ki hadir Ravin, because this whole story with Ravin. Have a shock of also achorei de Rabbi Yirmiyah. He was once hanging out with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Aguda de Yom Esdom, on the right next to the Dead Sea. So Amalei, ma'u the mimshe mehani maya b'shavis. Are you allowed to wash? Mimshe means to feel, but are you allowed to use this water on Shabbos to rub it on you? Right? Is it some sort of healing? Right? Even back then, they realized that not necessarily the mud, right? The Dead Sea mud that people use, but even the water perhaps would heal up a person's skin. So Amalei Shabbat Dam Eitz Moter. Right, it's not concerned. Right, again, the reason that the Chazal asserted refu on Shabbos is because you may come to grind up salmon, and you may come to grind up grains to make some sort of medicine. But this is totally not relevant whatsoever. You don't even realize. Right, people don't even realize you're doing it for refu. It could be that you're doing it just to dry off. Or to cool off, or whatever. So he said it was mother. So what about opening and closing your eyes, meaning to heal some sort of illness in your eyes? I'm really Zulu Shamati. He said, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, I haven't heard about this, but Kayotzibo Shamati. I heard a similar case. Sometimes he said in Rav Masna's name, Zimra Amar Lemishmeh Mar Ukva, sometimes in Rav Mar Ukva's name, Ketarvaya Mishmeh Davu, the Shmuel of Levi Amran, and both of them said in the name of Levi, and Shmuel's father, Chad Amar Yayim B'toch Ayin Oser, you're not allowed to put wine inside of your eye. Apparently that was some sort of medical advancement they had. Ba'agava Ayin, but outside the eye, so then it is mutter, right? Like the ointment, if you leave it on the eyelid, so then it'll seep in. And I have a similar type of medicine for one of my kids whenever they have, let's say, not pink eye, but whatever, some sort of eye illness. So it's a cream that you kind of put in the corner and it just kind of seeps in, through the natural ways. So that's one opinion. The other one says, even just spitting on your eye is Usher, which Lamaisa, which again, it's going to look like Refuah, and it's Usher. So the Gemara says, Tistayim da Avua the Shmuel Hu de Amar. It makes sense that Shmuel's father is the one who said, Yayim betocha ayin Usher, al agav ayin mutter. That putting wine directly into the eye is Usher, but on the eyelid is mutter, b'damar Shmuel, because Shmuel himself says, Shora adam pita b'yayin, a person is allowed to dip his bread and wine, v'nos no gabi ayin b'shabbos, and put it on his eye on Shabbos. So Stama, he heard it from his father. That's what Gemara says, the Shmuel and miman, who did Shmuel hear that from? Lav the Shmuel and miavua, he must have heard it from his father. So Gemara says, l'tamech, according to that logic, so how could you say, adamar Shmuel wrote tofel afilo gabi ayin usher, and Shmuel himself said that spitting on the eye is Aser, the Shmilei Meman. Who would he have heard that from? Elaim the Shmilei Meavua, if you're telling me he heard it from his father, and Levi Levelo Chadamar. Right, so then Avua the Shmuel said both of the things we said above, and why do we even mention Levi? Levi wasn't one of the Mandamars. Ella, no, it must be Chadashmo Meavua, Vachadashmil Mimilevi, Avalo Yadana, Hai Meavua, Vahai Milevi. No, so it must be that he heard both of them, from one from his father, one from Levi, and we don't know who said what. Okay, a little bit further. Amar Ukva Amar Shmuel Shora Adam Kiloron Me Erev Shabbos. This is the Kilor. The Kilor that we mentioned before, like a little paste with that you can mix with some water, or maybe some other liquids. Right, that's an eye ointment. A person can soak that in water. It's not in water, or soak it in something, I assume, but soak it in water. Right, Rashi says Shora B'mayim on Erev Shabbos. V'nosno Agav Einav B'Shabbos, and he can put it on his eyes on Shabbos. And he doesn't have to worry. There's no issa d'rabbanan in terms of medicine. Again, because you have that whole thing that you have to do it on Erev Shabbos, right, as Rashi says over here, Kevin Dats Rechela Shrusay Me Erev Shabbos, Ika Hakera. There's a Hakera, people will realize and recognize that there's some sort of issa play here. You shouldn't think that, you know, grinding some money is usher on Shabbos, since they had the Hakera, the recognition that refuah is usher, therefore it's mutter for you to do this process because you did something on Erev Shabbos. Bar Livoy hava kameh, hava koi kameh de Mar Ukva. Bar Livoy was once hanging out with Mar Ukva. Chazi da hava mayet zu pasach. He saw that he was opening, closing his eyes for the kolir, for this eye medicine. So Amalei, kule hai vadi lo shara Mar Shmuel. But that, or to do that much, that is going to be usher, because then already that looks like refuah. Okay, Shkoya Kodah Rabosai. We're going to go weiter in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow in the Heilige Shas. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.